Welcome to the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Today I'm your host, Chanel Bunger, and right now I'm speaking with Laura Dierda, Vice President and Editor-in-Chief at Becker's Healthcare, who keeps us updated regularly on healthcare trends she's keeping an eye on. Today she wants to speak about some takeaways that she has from the annual meeting last week. Laura, thank you as always for joining me today. Why don't you take it away and tell us about some of those takeaways you have?
Thanks so much, Chanel. And wow, what a week we had at the Becker's 14th annual meeting. It was amazing to see so many healthcare leaders, executives, and really people who are on the forefront of big trends in healthcare and making a big difference with accelerating the change and transformation in healthcare delivery. So it was an exciting place to see. We had hundreds of sessions, more than 650 speakers, primarily health system executives and leaders. And so it was such a great place to connect and a lot of energy and passion around that. So really, coming off of a wave of a lot of excitement and energy around changing healthcare. And to that point, I wanted to put together about five key takeaways or observations that I had based on panels that I moderated, as well as one-on-one executive meetings that the entire Becker's editorial team had over the last week. So first and foremost, I wanted to talk about the three biggest pain points that we heard time and time again from C-suite executives. Those pain points right now are access, capacity, and workforce. Most hospitals need more access points, in person and virtual, to meet the demand for healthcare in their community. Many hospitals face capacity issues and want to integrate new technology or forge partnerships that can increase that throughput and expand their capacity. There are also some that are looking at building new brick and mortar towers or hospitals or facilities. Really make a big difference. And, when we're looking at those spaces, there's been a lot of interest and additional build around behavioral health, oncology, and cardiology, which is really fascinating to see. So those are some of the big areas where there's additional brick and mortar growth, as well as hunger for service line expansion. We're also seeing executives think about creative solutions for their workforce shortages, preventing burnout, developing talent pipelines, and improving their caregiver experience. Along those lines, my second point here is thinking about artificial intelligence. AI is still on the tip of everyone's tongue. It has been for the last about 24 months or so, and it really has the potential for administrative and clinical applications, but needs the right governance and constant monitoring to ensure the integrity of results. AI is moving quicker than what typically healthcare leaders do in how hospitals and health systems typically change. And so a lot of organizations are making adjustments to their decision-making processes so they can incorporate AI changes so that they can pilot new things and really be on the forefront of care delivery and what's possible in healthcare today, while also understanding it's a constantly evolving field and the models that they have today might not be what they need in the future or could have gaps. And so there's a lot of monitoring going on, a lot of figuring out which teams are going to be focused on that and making judgment calls and really overseeing the governance for AI. We heard time and time again that AI won't replace clinicians, but clinicians with AI will replace those without, and same with hospitals. Health system executives are looking for partners who can provide meaningful AI-driven solutions as well and ensure the safety of their data and information. Many companies now have AI as some of the components of their platform. So systems that are doubling down on solutions that can both ease those big three pain points, access, capacity, and workforce, as well as catalyze value-based care are going to be most attractive to health system executives. And speaking of value-based care, that brings me to my third point. Value-based care is something that means something different to everyone. It's been around for a long time, for decades even, in some cases, and really, it was expected to accelerate before and didn't quite make it. But now we're seeing renewed energy and refreshed need around the idea that healthcare can't be a fee-for-service industry forever, but really needs to move into a space where every healthcare dollar is precious, they're paying for value, where patients as well as insurance companies know and trust the value that they're getting. And so looking at value differently, maybe not just strictly at taking on risk or strictly at bundled payments in some of the traditional ways we're looking at value, but open to a lot of different discussions and ways that partnerships between organizations and health systems, payers and providers can really benefit everybody. All stakeholders seem to agree that fee-for-service isn't always going to be tenable. So health systems have long clung to that fee-for-service. They're now making that transition, albeit slowly, and expanding their ambulatory networks while also finding ways to become more efficient with inpatient operations. Early adopters of value-based care have moved into more population health management and are finding ways to thrive. Health systems are also trying to capture the entire episode of care and control more of the healthcare dollars and data by owning their own health plans, including Medicare Advantage plans, and then connecting directly with employers to develop innovative and interesting agreements to care for patients. My fourth takeaway here is looking at the health systems and technology. Health systems are transitioning their platforms to the cloud and unifying all instances of their EHR under a single medical record system, and increasingly demanding any new tech purchase being integrated within that platform. They want easy and seamless IT integrations after spending a lot of money on their EHR platforms, and they still want to make sure those big tech investments for digital health, patient experience, precision medicine, OR, and ED workflows, as well as cybersecurity, are making a difference for them. I think one quick note on cybersecurity, it seems like now more than ever, especially after the Change Healthcare breach in recent months, health systems and their boards are taking a look and taking cybersecurity much more seriously than they have in the past. They're looking for resources that can point them in the right direction and understanding how easy it is to actually fall victim to some of the phishing attacks, to either have themselves be attacked by cybercrime, or one of their third-party partnerships fall victim to a cyber attack. And so having that game plan in place, being able to know what they're going to do, and really, you know, have all the safeguards in place so that they can quickly recover when that happens is critical and really the focus for many organizations. This year, cybersecurity has been a heightened priority, but technology can ultimately lead to saving money or time for clinicians, and that's extremely attractive even with expensive solutions. And finally, my fifth point here is the stated top priority for many CEOs and their executive teams overwhelmingly right now is people. They are tossing aside old assumptions and competitive feelings in favor for collaboration that will help them better serve their communities and teammates. Digging one bit deeper, CEOs and CFOs are keenly aware of the financial challenges ahead and are willing to spend now in order to increase that accessibility, capacity, and workforce to meet the coming demand for care as workforce shortages will persist. They're also looking upstream to solve problems, both internally as well as with chronic health issues in the community, and provide a long-term vision of a healthier population that doesn't need costly preventable care services, but is fully engaged with the clinical teams practicing to the top of their abilities and thriving. We're seeing many of the hospitals and system put together programs where they have a pipeline right from medical schools or pipeline from other areas of their organization to upskill their folks, get them into clinical positions, and especially those that have responsibilities now that will be automated in the future, looking ahead to find ways that they can truly prepare them for a workforce that's a truly rewarding position in a space where they can not only get ahead in their own careers, but also make a big difference for the patients and the health system that they're working with. So we're seeing a lot of that. We're seeing a lot of just really creative community outreach, partnerships, social determinants of health issues, where health systems are providing housing, food, and more into communities that need. So I'm just really looking at those types of projects, how they can set aside the funding and put the right infrastructure in place to make these things truly beneficial to the communities, and then to overall see the value that they're trying to have for their own organization as well. So it's been really a fun and interesting week at the Becker's annual meeting, and looking forward to more of our events upcoming this fall.
Well, Laura, thank you so much for sharing these insights with us, and I look forward to the next conference in June. And thank you, as always, for joining me on the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Always a pleasure. Thank you.